When we look back over the course of human history, those that we often regard as the gods and goddesses of the earth, we might say, those who have given much to human welfare, animal welfare, the environment, to the world that we live in. And some, of course, of those that we have great love and respect for have given, and those acts of generosity and kindness and service, for some, has been at great personal expense. And, of course, that some, for some, has included the cost of their lives. And this act of giving, in a way, is kind of reflects words that we sometimes use about life, that life is a gift. It's not that you and I asked to be born, that we've emerged into this world, we make this journey through this world. And there's something rather precious with us, that in a world where there is so much taking and holding and fighting over, all the divisions and the pain that goes along with it, still there are people on the earth in a variety of walks of life which do keep trust and faith in the act of the giving, in the act of the gift. And the Buddha in his teachings very much emphasized this, and in the reference to that would frequently speak of Dharma, Dana, like with the hyphen between the two, Dharma and Dana. And as you and I explore and look into the tradition of the Dana, of the act of the gift, it comes in a way as the movement of the Sangha, of women and men meeting and coming together with a genuine heartfelt wish to support such activities. And it's a rather primary movement that goes on. But it also, it puts out, and to me this is important as well, a kind of radically different kind of message which is often given to us. And that message can be maximization of income, charging high costs for services, and a message as well that if something is good or if something is valuable, therefore you have to pay for it. And this view is commonly put out, and if something is cheap, if something is low cost, or something is offered, it can't really be worth a lot, because if it's really worth something, you'd be paying a lot for it. And this message goes out to us morning, noon and night. And the Dana says to us, or and invites us, to of course explore the heart, to explore deep, and to make gestures in life in which the acts of life and the gifts of life, that which is offered in a variety of ways, is shared out. And you've been on, all of you who've been on retreats before, you are familiar with the values and the vision and the direction of Tovana. And one of the things which carries a very beautiful message, that when people hear of the value of the act of the giving, that charges are not being made there, and putting the emphasis and the faith in trust, this genuinely generates a lot of interest in people. And people say to me when I'm overseas, because Tovana is one of the few places that keep faith with this, people will say to me when I'm overseas, just, how do they do it? How does it keep working? Don't people just sign up and then think, well, I've got to pay any registration fees, and then don't bother to turn up? Why would people be motivated to stay if they haven't given any money to pay for the whole thing there? So it and others who are interested, where there is so much cynicism around money as well, and then here it's not about money issue in that way, because it's on dana, it's on gift. People immediately respond of interest and appreciation and knowing where the real values and the real depth actually is there. In the long tradition there, I just had a friend who stayed in the Chris actually lives just a few doors down the road from me, and a few friends here will know him. He just stayed in a monastery in Burma for about 3 months. Around 700 monks, nuns and lay people practicing daily there. They're doing jhana, these deep absorption meditations, which the discourse of we've been exploring with you there. And after 3 months, he said to the abbot and the senior monks, could you tell me where the dana box is? Because I've been here for 3 months, where I can put some dana, some donation there. And they said, oh, dana box? What's that? And they said, we don't have anything like that. And he said, well, I'd like to offer and give something. And one of the rules is that monks and nuns don't physically handle money, so you can't kind of hand it over. So Chris had to go away, find a dana box, make a box for the monastery, put this dana in it and give it to the monastery. And part of the reason that it can work in this way is because the village around the monastery and others in different places who have benefited from it will give support and will ensure the food, the clothing, all the items which are needed, the buildings and the repair and the maintenance. Lots and lots of people are all involved to enable rich and poor alike to be in the monastery and just do their practice. And a large community of people giving support to that, and what's rather beautiful and touching about it, that for the Burmese people, they know we, the Westerners, are much better off than they are. They know we've been able to take the flight there and stay there and elsewhere. But they're not considering, oh, they have more than us. It's not that way of looking. And in my 6 years as a Buddhist monk, it really got clear to me as well. They just say, we are going to support practice. We are going to support meditation. We are going to support Dharma. We are going to support the practice of loving kindness and compassion. That's really important. And rather the same way here too. So each time you and the previous generations of people who have come to the retreat, it's not only giving for yourself, which is fine, but also it's giving to the whole event, and it's also, and this is really important, your act of giving makes it possible for the next retreat to take place on the same principle. Because if there were major shortfalls, the community of Tovna couldn't work like this. We'd have to revert to payment for the retreat. So keeping the trust in this just keeps working. And I don't know how many years Tovna has been doing this, but must be maybe about 10 years, and it's wonderful. It's a really precious thing. And perhaps I should say as well, of course, Tovna is very grateful for you giving, at the beginning of the retreat, handing over, as a dana, all your mobile phones. And we're very happy to report to you that Arik and Asaf and others have been able to sell them on eBay while we have been here. some of them, of course, were really old, old mobile phones, and we've been doing our best for people to sell them as specialist collector's items from a vintage era there. And speaking of that, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Stephen's laptop. It's an IBM. It's worth a pilgrimage. You know, it is so old. You know, the Tel Aviv Museum is actually interested in it there. And when Stephen arrived there, Eric and Asa very kindly offered, because it's so heavy, between the two of them, to get it from his car to his room. I believe that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments on it. Just have a look at it. It's really something. All right. So the act of the kindness is the act of generosity there. And one of the precious and beautiful things about this is that with the big heart and the invitation, you know, of Tovana, that people, and including some people here, who genuinely, you know, struggling sometimes with the finances, and that could be the single parent, it could be the older person who's on a pension, it could be the student, it could be somebody who's just coming out of the army, it could be somebody who's unemployed or in debt or whatever. And, you know, rather a large percentage of people in our societies which do struggle. And by making the way of the retreat on the Dharma Dana basis, it keeps the heart open and keeps the receptivity to open to everybody who wishes to come, can come. And that, is, I think, is genuinely important. And then, of course, there are others here amongst you as well. And in your good presence, perhaps you have a good, reliable income and appreciate what is offered here. And others will give that much more to give support to those who have that much less. And that kind of does balance it out. And one person in the last retreat, which was mostly for beginners who fairly new to the retreat, so a few others, and one of the people came up to us, that is the teachers, afterwards, and said how much he appreciated everything that Tovana is offered, and said, I'd like to give a personal dana to cover for 5 meditators in a future retreat. And I thought those kind of gestures of offering and service and giving really, really give a lot of inspiration and a lot of real support. And all of those lovely acts help to keep the whole process going there. And of course, when one considers the wide variety of costs that take place there, and it's not just the food. When I walked in here on the opening evening of the first retreat, and I thought, wow, in the space of a year, the huge renovation that had taken place in here. And previously, the interior of this looked like something falling down from the 18th century. And so a lot of time and money and love and work has gone into make it a very supportive environment for us. And hopefully the next step will be more work on the kitchen. Hint, hint. So, but all of that is only possible, again, through the generosity and the dana and the giving. And with myself coming from Totnes, and taking the train up to London, and then the flight to Tel Aviv with not so easy jet, and And then coming here, so all of the costs of the retreat get for the travelers also get covered through the kind gifts and the donations, as well as all the preparation work that's done. Everything you see is out of the Dana. It's all the gifts, and we're really appreciative as well for the kibbutz and for Hava, who's the guardian angel here through the year. She was born on the kibbutz. She's a wonderful supporter for everything that we are doing here, and we have great appreciation for her. And you're, after the speaking with you, and Lili will say a few words as well, you'll get some explanation, of course, in the usual way about the offering of the dana in the dining hall. And just again, if I may, just a few words with regard to us as the teachers, and a great appreciation to all the staff, both on the last retreat and this retreat, the managers and the cooks and all those who helped to keep it running. They also, it's their dana to all of us to give us real support, do a huge amount of work. And tomorrow morning you'll hear the voices of some in some small groups, and that often has been a real inspiration for people to say, yeah, I want to give service, give support, of course attend some sittings and listen to the talks. And we, the teachers and the staff, have meetings every evening, and some precious and lovely sharing goes on at the end of the day. That's all part of the event. With us as teachers, finally, in the years of teaching, the connection there of the Sangha is one of practitioners and yogis, as we say, and teachers giving support to each other. And your kindness and donations for the three of us, in a genuinely real and practical way, really give support to our daily lives. And it's on the understanding, and this is, you know, it's kind of carved in the rock, the understanding is that in the giving, the recipient, the receivers here, the use of the dana is to be treated, because it's a gift for our support, with the greatest of respect. And the greatest of respect means for the essentials of food and clothing and necessities in daily life, medication if it's needed, so that it's given on the understanding that we who benefit from your kind support can employ the Dharma for our day-to-day life, and outside of the retreats, we can continue to do all the various other kinds of Dharma service, from the variety of meetings and the articles and the research and the texts there, and the small groups and the emails and the blogs and the websites. All of that is an ongoing process with us. And of course, Stephen spends an enormous amount of time at CLIL, and meetings with people there, and programs going on there. And Leela, with the piece of land that she bought near Jerusalem there, her and her partner, people coming there and sharing there, and the community of practitioners coming there, and making that available and open for people. And all of that ongoing work and support must be made possible because people say, this is important. This really just has some value. And centers and facilities and keeping hearts and minds open helps things to flow in a progressive and a healthy direction. And that's in a part of what takes place. And with myself and like with Leela and the teachers there, it is our the dana is what gives support. I would absolutely love it. I would love to say to you, well, you know, I've got a personal, private, rich benefactor. Unfortunately, not. If you know anybody, and similarly, I think Tovana would also say exactly the same as well, because having driven through Tel Aviv a few times, it looks to me like there are a few rich people around. I've seen these high-rise blocks looking over the Med for meditation, of course, and it would just be lovely that those who have a few million surplus shekels hanging out of their wallet would say, "If there's any shortfall, Tovana, we'll make it up. We'll ensure." So I mention this nearly every year. Sometime in this very lifetime, these words might land in some rich person's wallet. We'll see. But in the meantime, it's up to us. But genuinely, and finally serious point here, huge, on my side here, appreciation for the ongoing kindnesses. I know for Tovana and for the retreats and us, just how deeply you dig into your pockets. And it's a real feeling of gratitude from myself and other teachers here to what happened. And there's a rich culture and the diversity of what's taking place through Tovana is really, really, really exceptional. And I can tell you, it has such a precious and good name in the Buddhist world primarily, but in a whole range of other networks, and it's a credit to you all. Thank you.
So, I still, every time, find it quite miraculous that at the end of every event like that, after a week or a weekend or longer, that a group of people is gathered on the basis of trust. And we are having this conversation pretty similar each time. And then we step into the what we call Dana ceremony, which I'll explain at the end of my talk. And the whole thing is just funny. It's incredible. I find it really, really special. And following the lines of love and emptiness, and the mystery of the dance of those two, it's a really rare and beautiful expression I find in our society, and I feel in the whole world as well. Just the ability, the possibility of this to take place. Like total strangers, most of you, to one another, come here, do what you do here, and at the end, give your support so that this thing can continue, can go on. And one of the sentences that I love the most from what the Buddha said about giving is that if you knew what I know, he said, about giving, you wouldn't let a single meal pass by without you sharing it with someone. I think it's something most of us know quite well, that giving is an act that brings joy to our hearts. And in the act of giving, something really beautiful and precious is happening to us as human beings. We can, head on heart, go into this mystery of, if we all know it, why isn't it happening more in our lives? And it's actually a call for investigation. What blocks the love? What blocks the giving? Because Dana giving is an act of love. What prevents us from being in this divine state, so to speak, the Buddhist terms, Brahma Vihara? What prevents the heart? And as we work and have a closer look, a deeper look on our minds and hearts, we can see the different movements that maybe close the heart, maybe prevent us, the fear that might arise, the aversion that might arise, the greed that might arise. And all of those movements that are like the waves of the ocean, they come momentarily, they have their causes, they have the conditions, they rise, especially where money is mentioned. It's almost can be an automatic thing. But then, as a conscious human being, we actually put into practice what we've been doing all this week. And we have the chance to look at these movements and go for the deeper. We have the chance to go for the love. We have the chance to go for the giving. And Dana is a kind of teaching that if you go to the East and you want to study about Buddhism and about meditation, this is what you've been given first. And it's not arbitrary, because there is something in this movement that takes us farther. The movement of the close to the open, the joy of giving, sort of seasons us. Matbila otanu ba'energia hazot, ba'efsharut hazot. So I want to refer to it as teaching and as practice. First of all, in this kind of world that we're all living in, where things have their numbers and values in numbers and money, it's a radical act to be given something so extraordinary and beautiful and deep on the basis of trust. And it's a trust not in the person or personality. I feel it's a trust in something deeper that us as human beings are capable of. And the proof is that it keeps going. It is rolling. And for me, it can bring tears to my eyes just to know it from occasion to occasion, from event to event. This group of people right now, we are actually participating in this retreat because another group of people last week, just like us, was practicing day and night, passing the whole week here. At the end of the retreat, left this sum of money that enabled this venture to continue. I think it's awesome. So just knowing of it and participating in this radical act of love that manifests as giving, as dana, I think it's worth a lot. Christopher was talking about Tovana. Still remember I was in the old days of the too many committees talking about it. Will it be successful or not? We're going to collapse after one time and people would not. And all of that, and taking a huge leap of faith actually, towards it. And then just the one of the things that it created, by the way, is a change in the social variety of the people that are coming. Because before, when there was a big sum of money that was involved, or and some stipend were given, still a certain type, I would say, of socioeconomic people would come to a retreat. And now, and that's, by the way, what is happening mostly in the West, people that can afford it in a certain stage of life, quite well off often, and so forth. But now, because it's on dana basis, look at the variety. It's incredible. And people that come to teach, teachers that come from around the world to teach here in Israel, that's one of the first things they're noticing and really, really appreciating. The variety, the different ages, the different occupations, the different walks of life, the migvan that we have here in the Sangha. And looking at it in an educational way, looking at it in a way of changing the society, in a political way also, I think it's one of the things that really, really contributes to a change, deep and beautiful change in our society here. So that's a little bit different Dharma talk to them. I'm inspired by Christopher here. But,